UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome. In this panel discussion today, we are discussing pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP. My guests are Dr. Matt Gravett, Michael Fordham, and Kachina Kudroff. I'm going to let them introduce themselves today. So, Dr. Gravett, why don't you tell us your role and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, Melanie. Thanks for having us on today. My name is Matt Gravett. I am a senior fellow in infectious diseases, and I'm also a postdoctoral scholar in our Health Services Outcomes and Effectiveness Research T32 training program. My role in the PrEP space is I am a provider here at our 1917 PrEP clinic.
And Michael, why don't you go next? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Michael Fordham, and I am the program administrator for prevention programs here at the UAB 1917 clinic. And my main role is I am the PrEP coordinator for the clinic here at 1917.
And as always, I like to save the best for last. So, Kachina, why don't you tell us your role?
Thanks, Melanie. My name is Kachina Kudroff. I work here at the 1917 Clinic as well as our Prevention Programs Manager. And a large part of my job duties revolve around managing the PrEP clinic specifically.
And they are all at UAB Medicine. So, Dr. Gravett, starting with you, tell us about the current state of HIV today. What's different about what we know about this disease than, say, we knew 20 years ago?
Sure. Well, HIV now is widely considered a chronic and manageable disease with the advent of very effective and tolerable antiretroviral therapy. But we still are working hard to end the epidemic of HIV. And the reason for that is every year there's nearly 40,000 new HIV diagnoses in the U.S. In the South, there are roughly 52% of all those infections are occurring. So we certainly have a high burden of disease in our region. So even though we have effective therapy, we still would want to stop this epidemic. And one of the ways we can do that is with effective prevention.
That would seem to be a very important point, is prevention is really where it's all centered around now. So, Kachina, tell us about PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. What is that?
So, PrEP in general is really anything that you would take or do prior to an exposure to whatever microbicide, virus, bacteria, et cetera. So, when we talk about PrEP in the field of HIV, right now what we're looking at is chemo prophylaxis, right? So the current drug recommended for PrEP is called Truvada, or it's a combination of tenofovir and emtricitabine. And it's taken once daily to prevent HIV infection. So the whole idea that you have the drug on board in your body prior to that exposure, which then stops the infection from replicating and taking hold.
Yeah, I would just like to add, so excellent points by Conchita. The PrEP, as we have right now, we know it works really well if you take it every day. So this medicine is very safe and effective, but it really relies on taking it daily. And so the data that we have to support this, the trials, show that it reduces HIV acquisition risk by 92% if you take it adequately. And so right now we know that taking it at least four times a week, optimally up to six or seven times a week, is really effective at reducing HIV acquisition.
Well, I'd like to stick with that point for just a minute. Do you find, Dr. Gravett, that this is one of the limitations to making sure to adherence, that making sure that people are compliant with this regimen?
Certainly. I think that adherence is an issue. Adherence to the medicine isn't just because of side effects or such like that. In fact, side effects with PrEP are actually unusual. Most people tolerate it really well. The issue with adherence really comes in more with we're giving a medicine to people who are otherwise healthy, meaning whether it's they are young men who have sex with men and are at risk for HIV that way, you know, we're asking them to take a medicine daily where they would previously never take medicines before. So that is one issue with adherence.
And I would like to add, when we're counseling around adherence, we're really focusing on this protective factor. We're focusing on being responsible, being empowered in your sexual health. And so what we've really seen in our clinical space, as well as in other trials, is that when these individuals on PrEP feel like they are doing something to protect themselves, they feel very proactive and responsible about this, they want to take that pill every day. I'll get clients calling and saying, oh my gosh, I missed a pill. Are you going to kick me out of clinic? Because they're concerned for themselves. They're concerned for the adherence possibility. I think as we move farther away from sort of this first wave of uptake, we might see greater issues with adherence. But right now, the focus is really on that proactivity and that responsibility around taking care of yourself.
So, Michael, what are some of the current epidemiological trends of HIV? Who needs to be on PrEP? Dr. Gravitt mentioned men that are having intercourse with men, but who else? So kind of tell us a little bit about when this use should be initiated and who it's most important for.
It's a good question. We definitely see a lot of men who have sex with men, as Matt mentioned, but PrEP is not something that is solely intended for men who have sex with men. We have several clients in our clinic that maybe their primary partner is HIV positive, and they just want that extra level of protection. And they may be a heterosexual couple. We would love to see a larger increase in heterosexual women, especially Black heterosexual women, increasing their PrEP use. And the other cohort that we would like to see is really just anybody that has sex. PrEP is something that anybody that has sex can use. You shouldn't feel like that just because you are a man who has sex with men or you have a primary partner that is HIV negative. Maybe you have outside partners. We want it to be a very sex-positive medication, and the messaging around it, we want to be very sex-positive as well.
Dr. Gravitt, are there certain clinical protocols for prescribing support? And as we talked about monitoring the adherence, tell us a little bit about the clinic and what are some of those protocols?
Sure. So right now, the CDC has guidelines for how we provide PrEP, and they recommend quarterly provider visits. So what that means is these persons who are indicated to be on PrEP, they are referred or refer themselves to our clinic. And so we have them come in. Everyone gets an HIV test before they start. And so they must have a documented negative HIV test. We also do STI testing, sexually transmitted infection testing, as well at each visit. So they get their, they come in for a visit. They have an HIV test and they have their STI testing. If that's negative, then we give them a 90-day supply of the medication, and then with no refills, and we counsel them about safer sex practices, risks or symptoms and signs of acute HIV infection, as well as symptoms of STIs. And then so they go, they leave, and then they come back in 3 months, and we repeat the process. The reason we do it every 3 months is because it's imperative that we keep track of whether or not they acquire the virus while on PrEP or while they are away from clinic care. So the protocol really is a little bit regimented, and it is it can be kind of tough to ask these otherwise healthy individuals to come to the doctor 4 times a year. But they also feel very empowered, as Katrina mentioned, and so a lot of them really take the initiative to continue coming back to keep up with this modality that really, really, really mitigates their risk that they know they're at risk for.
So, Katrina, tell us how well it works. Is there evidence of the safety and efficacy of the antiretroviral prophylaxis? Tell us a little bit about how it works.
Well, yes. First, it absolutely works. We have quite a few years of study on board with this drug in particular. And I think Dr. Gravitt was mentioning earlier when we saw folks who had detectable levels of tenofovir specifically in their blood, usually associated with greater than 4 or even greater than 6 doses per week, we have about a 92% effectiveness rate on that. So 92% risk reduction for those individuals who took PrEP every single day. And that was in clinical trials. When we look at some of the more recent open label extension trials and other real world studies, we're seeing even fewer seroconversions or fewer HIV infections among individuals taking PrEP. Currently, I believe there are only 7 or 8 documented cases of HIV seroconversion, and that's out of the hundreds of thousands of people worldwide who are receiving this medication.
I was just going to add that we talk a lot about the effectiveness of PrEP in men who have sex with men. So that is certainly the highest risk for HIV acquisition. They're disparately affected by this diagnosis. But there's evidence to support PrEP use in what are called serodiscordant couples, so heterosexual couples that where one partner is living with HIV and the other person and the relationship is not, and men who have sex with women and women who have sex with men in particular, we know that it works in those couplings too. We also know that it works in persons who inject drugs. So there is data for persons who, as long as they take tenofovir every day, reduce their risk of HIV acquisition by if their modality or their risk for HIV is injecting drugs. The data for the effectiveness in women, it's a little bit less robust, but that has more to do with the fact that it's a little bit the issue with adherence in women, in that the pharmacokinetics of the drug and the genital tracts of cisgendered women and transgendered men are such that the drug levels are lower, so it does not forgive if you miss a dose as much. But again, if women are cisgendered women, transgender women, transgendered men, if they are adherent to the medicine, then they're protected as well. So there's really data to support, you know, all persons who are indicated for it. And it's also very well tolerated. And there's, you know, very few side effects. There's some question of could there be kidney problems or bone mineral problems with this medicine called tenofovir. Well, when you actually look at the data, it's really not terribly clinically significant. Certainly there are case reports, but on the large spectrum of the hundreds of thousands of persons who are on it, it's very, very reasonable and very, very safe.
Michael, tell us a little bit about what affects successful PrEP provision. Tell us about some of the challenges as part of that emerging paradigm of the combination HIV prevention. How is outreach conducted as well?
So to address that, we run into some barriers. I think our biggest barrier is the lack of health insurance. The medication itself, we can easily get it covered through assistance programs through the drug company Gilead. They have fantastic programs for people that have insurance that pick up their copays, because most insurance plans classify Truvada, the drug, at a specialty level, meaning their copays are going to be extremely high. So Gilead has a program that will pick that copay up. And for folks that don't have health insurance, the medication will be covered through Gilead's Advancing Access Program. And it's super easy to work with, and it covers the medication entirely. Obviously, if somebody doesn't have health insurance, they're not able to see the provider in most cases. And so even accessing the drug is a big challenge for them. Some clinics, and ours included, we have assistance programs that can help cover those doctor and lab visits. Otherwise, you know, we would love to see more people without insurance on the drug. It's kind of a tough thing to navigate. One of our other barriers that we see is the stigma surrounding PrEP. A lot of patients will say that they don't want to ask their primary care doctor because they're afraid of the reaction. A lot of patients will say they don't want to go to certain clinics because that clinic might be associated with HIV-positive people. And the stigma in the communities, people will say, oh, you are on Truvada to protect you from HIV. You must be having a lot of condomless sex. That makes you, you know, a slut. We don't view it that way. It's a lot like you see with birth control. And so a lot of our outreach efforts are targeted at reducing that stigma, educating the community about PrEP and the benefits that they may get. We're also really trying to educate fellow providers about the drug, that they can prescribe it. It's very easy. And also to help providers have those conversations with their patients about sex, because people are seeking this drug largely because they're having sex.
And to add to that, I think one of the most common pushbacks I hear from providers and their willingness to kind of prescribe PrEP as well, oh, I don't have the time to go through the full risk assessment. I don't have the time to add this into my practice. And of course, we know that providers are crunched for time. That's the scenario we live in. But even a short little sexual risk assessment, you know, what gender of partners do you have? What type of sex are you having? Are you using condoms or not? Just really brief questions, you know, asked in a very open-ended, non-judgmental way to both allow the client to feel comfortable answering them and then to open that door for conversations about PrEP or other sexual health promotion activities can go a long way. And again, it doesn't have to take up a million years. It doesn't have to take up all that time, especially if it's a client that, you know, they're coming in to get tested for STIs on a regular basis. Like, clearly that conversation should be happening regardless.
Dr. Gravitt, tell us about the future of PrEP. How does that look? And also some promising therapies. If you were to look forward to the next 10 years in the field, what do you feel will be some of the more important areas of research for other providers? What would you like them to know?
Sure. So I think the future is very bright for PrEP. We have proven that there's an effective modality in using antiretroviral therapy preemptively to halt the acquisition of the virus. So taking that model that, you know, we're giving ART to stop the virus acquisition, you can just look at different types of ART. So in particular, recent data came out to show that there's a newer form of tenofovir called tenofovir alafenamide, which again, in combination with emtricitabine, is not inferior to the current FDA-approved tenofovir disoproxil fumarate emtricitabine. So it's a pill, again, that you take once daily, but it's a newer version. It perhaps has lower bone and kidney effects, but it's just as effective at preventing HIV. Now, in terms of other modes of ART, the current trials really are looking at what's long-acting injectables, so using a medication that can be delivered as an injection such that you don't rely on taking a pill every day. And even going forward, there's other types of ART delivery modalities, perhaps implantable devices, so meaning a drug-eluting device that you implant every so often. There's also other types of less common ART delivery mechanisms, so like vaginal gels, vaginal rings, microbicides, which are medications that you apply to the genitals, so that could be in the form of a lube or a douche. There's no fantastic data to support that, in the sense that there's nothing right now in the pipeline to show us that that will be coming. But the idea that, you know, how can we deliver ART effectively to persons how they prefer? So if someone does not want to take a pill every day, okay, so then maybe Truvada as PrEP is not for them. But if they're open to getting injections, well, that may be an avenue that's coming down the pipeline soon, we hope.
We're wrapping up now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today. I'd like to give you all one last word here. So, Michael, I'd like to start with you. Tell other physicians what you would like them to know about the referral process and why you think it's important that they discuss with their patients PrEP and other prophylaxis, what you would like them to know.
Yeah, so the referral process for any physician or provider here at UAB that would be interested in referring one of their patients who has asked about PrEP to us here at 1917 is pretty simple. And there's a couple of different ways that we have it set up. You can provide the patient with my direct office number, which is 205-975-0840, or you can simply send me a message through the Impact EMR system and refer the patient that way, and I can reach out directly to them. We try to make it easy for patients and providers to get in touch with us, to answer any questions, to get them started on PrEP. And we also want the providers to feel comfortable asking us as a PrEP clinic here at 1917 for any advice, any questions they may have about how they can implement PrEP into their schedule if they have a patient seeking it. Because when you think about it, if you're a primary care physician, you likely have a good relationship with most of your patients. And your patients may feel more comfortable keeping their primary care and their PrEP care all in one rather than having multiple doctor's appointments throughout UAB. So we are here to help in that aspect as well.
Kachina, next to you, tell us a little bit about the 1917 HIV Outpatient Clinic and your multidisciplinary care there.
Yeah, so the 1917 Clinic, as many of you hopefully know, we like to think we have a good name for ourselves out there in the community, but we're one of two HIV clinics in the Birmingham area. And so we serve over, I'd say, 3,600 people living with HIV from Jefferson and the surrounding counties. And what that looks like in terms of care for those individuals, we have a team approach. So each individual will have an attending physician, potentially a fellow or a nurse practitioner who also sees them, in addition to a nurse, a social worker, a nutritionist or dietitian, and then what we call linkage and retention coordinators who are there to help retain them in care should any issues or challenges come up. And those teams are generally set, so they will see the same individual or individuals pretty much any time they come in for clinic, which really helps with that continuity of care and that sense of ease and familiarity when they come into clinic. And then outside of just the general HIV care, we also offer several specialty clinics, endocrinology, psychology, and psychiatry services. We have folks who focus in nephrology and other services that are just at the tip of my brain and I can't get out right now. But we try our best to really address all of the issues and concerns that our clients are coming to us, especially understanding that our client population is aging. Because HIV is no longer life-ending, it's just life-changing. We're seeing now how HIV is affecting the aging process. And so, you know, we're having to look at other health issues. It's not just HIV anymore. And so we want to make sure that we can either provide those services here at clinic or we have good referral mechanisms at UAB and other areas to make sure that folks are getting all of the care they need. And that includes dental care as well. We do have a dental clinic here on site.
What great information. Dr. Gravitt, last word to you. What would you like other providers to know about the use of PrEP, counseling their HIV patients or their patients that are just at risk?
I think I would like the other providers to know here at UAB and really globally is that, you know, HIV risk is something that if you don't ask about it, you don't know about it. And if you don't know about it, you can't take measures and take steps to mitigate that risk. We know PrEP is very effective. It's very tolerable. So I hope that, you know, after our discussion, providers hear this and they feel empowered to have these what can sometimes be tough conversations or maybe even awkward conversations, but to understand their patients better. And then, you know, if they feel comfortable providing PrEP, then, you know, that would be fantastic. But if not, they can always have a home here and that they can refer them to us and that we are more than happy to help their patients in that regard as well.
Thank you, all of you, for being on with us today. And what a fascinating topic. And thank you for sharing your expertise and explaining it so very well. Thanks again. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. And that wraps up this episode of UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, head on over to our website at uabmedicine.org/physician. If you found this podcast informative, as I did, please share on your social media and be sure to check out all the other fascinating podcasts in our library. I'm Melanie Cole.